the Rebel Leadership Podcast, a refreshing take on authentic leadership told through real stories. Let's smash the status quo and change how leaders lead once and for all. One of our exceptionally talented new business development leads named Joe Martin asked me a question the other day. It stopped me in my tracks. It was right after a company-wide meeting where we talked with 75 people around big picture themes and vision. Joe said to me, "But Allison, what's the end goal? And how will we know we've reached it?" What I realized in that moment is that he was on the verge of an aha moment, one that would teach him to see life and work differently. That it's not about hitting a certain number of employees or a revenue target or getting the next award or a tangible goal. Yes, those things are very important to business, but they're not the things that keep people intrinsically motivated. That it's about enjoying the small stuff, finding a way to power through those hard days, helping out a peer, and appreciating the micro moments on a human level. We get deep today about work and life and the finish line. And hopefully, this episode allows you to pause, reflect, and embrace your next aha moment. The other day, we were talking about big picture stuff.
Yes.
And we probably talked about it ad nauseum together, but we're going to, do it one more time.
Chop it up, take a deep dive, do the whole thing.
Let's do it.
Really excited to be here.
And you were asking, you were like relentlessly asking me a question about like, what's the finish line? Like what's our goal? And you're a new business person.
So yes.
Tell me about your mindset, your psyche, about like what you crave.
Yeah. So I think every collegiate graduate for their first job, the first thing that they write at their objective sentence or defining themselves, right, is goal oriented. And so maybe that's a part of it, right? It's just kind of always striving towards what comes next, what is out there, what am I trying to achieve, how am I constantly measuring, who and what am I measuring myself against, which I think has a lot to do with the business of sales, right? There's always a goal, always an objective, always something more to go get. And so as I look back at my own personal and professional, career and life, it's always been trying to push to the next thing. What's the next hurdle? What comes next, again, from a growth standpoint? And, applying that now to Rebel, I've been here for a little over a year. And I think when you hit that kind of milestone, you start looking back, you'd be reflective on where have I come from? What have I accomplished? And then what comes next? It's kind of a natural time for that self-reflection. And I think, that question came up. And I've spent a lot of time with you and with Bryn focusing on the business and what pushes us forward and living in this world of sales. And again, it's very numbers driven. So those kinds of things just come up. So for me, I'm constantly looking for what's next. And maybe that's a personal thing, but I was asking that of you and
yeah.
You had a very insightful comment to that.
Well, the older I've gotten and the more experience I have under my belt, each year I realize there isn't a finish line. There isn't the banner at the end of the marathon. It's much more about each day and feeling fulfilled at the end of each day and saying, today was a really freaking good day, right? So that's more about what it's about than a goal.
So I want to stop you there because that is like so antithetical to my approach and to that question. It's almost like, how could you have completely flipped my question on its head and answered it, with that answer?
Yeah.
And so there's so much
but
to
does
unpack.
That answer deflate you?
So
like, is it like, oh, womp womp, there's no end goal? Wait, what do you mean?
So I actually think my first reaction was how refreshing of a response. And it was the last thing I expected, I think, out of your mouth. And I think it was very insightful. And I want to take it back to another way you teed up that response, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but you did say like that you saw a little bit of yourself in me asking that question.
Oh, I sure did.
So your response came from a place of knowing and a place of empathy for where I was in my seat and where I am in my seat.
Yeah.
So I think it was really interesting to hear your perspective, and I really appreciated that perspective because it was not what I expected. It was completely opposite direction.
So let's go into that.
So deflating is totally not the right word. Now, that said, other people may have that as their first reaction. I thought it was refreshing. I thought it was liberating is a word that comes to mind, too. Because I think once you... This conversation also just happened within the last couple days. So let's be clear. I haven't exactly realigned my whole life structure on this.
No. You have to live it yourself.
I have to live it myself. But I think it's interesting in that as you sort of untether yourself from this mountaintop. So you had finish line as sort of your analogy. Mine was mountaintop, right? What's at the top of the mountain? And once you, kind of abandon that as maybe your end or your goal, or there's this tangible thing I can put my hands around, I think it allows you to focus on the here and now, on what's in front of you and being your best self and bringing the best you to your task, to that meeting, to that deliverable or to that client conversation in the moment.
This is where I feel like it's not about age. It's about experience. It's about the things that you live through yourself, because you can be told one thing until you're blue in the face. You've read endless quotes about, what do you have any regrets on your deathbed and all this stuff about that's the literal finish line. And that's when you realize like, oh, wait, no, there was no end target. It was about enjoying it while you had it and making the most of every day. But the thing that really changed me, well, two things really changed me. One was becoming a parent a second time to my second son. So my first son, well, the second part of that is becoming the president of an agency, but I'll get to that in a second. So when I had my first son, all I focused on were his milestones. It was like, when are you going to roll over? When are you going to pick your head up? When are you going to sit up? When are you going to crawl? I was relentless with him. I feel like I got to apologize to my kid. I'm sorry, aunt. Love you, buddy. But it was like always the next thing. What am I not doing enough? I was like, I crushed myself with social media. I crushed myself with mommy blogs. And what am I not doing enough of? Instead of being like, you know what? I'm giving this everything I've got. I've given him everything. I've been awake all night. I've been like giving up social activities. I'm giving him all my gusto. I'm reading him books every day. Like all the things, right? But it was always about like, what's next? On to the next. And then all of a sudden, like that year flies by, 2 years flies by, and you're like, wait a second. Like you see, totally. When you have kids, you see time differently because you see them aging. And that's a very real present reflection of time. Sure. Now, fast forward to my second son who just turned one on Sunday. With him, I was a completely different parent because I appreciated the little stuff, the little looks, the little giggles, it sounds so cliche, but I was never like waiting for what happens tomorrow. It was so real and cerebral and in the moment. And you realize like, it's not about when he crawls, he's going to crawl. It's fine. He's going to crawl, right? I've got a healthy kid. I'm very lucky for that, but he's going to crawl when he decides it's time to crawl. Let me enjoy like while he's sitting up and playing with his toys. Totally. And like, that's something like you can hear about that all day long. You're probably thinking like, yeah, I totally get that. But you're going to feel it when you're a parent someday. But you can't understand it when you're not in that world.
Right. So a couple thoughts on that. Also just bouncing off. I don't know. I love playing sort of armchair psychologist.
Are you like flipping the role of host on me?
I may be. This is something. Okay. Welcome Allison Minutillo to the podcast. No, so a couple things that I wanted to address there is I don't know that this is exactly true, and I'm not a parent myself, to be clear, but I am the firstborn in my family. I'm the oldest of five. So how you just described your approach in raising your firstborn son, I think there's probably some science out there that shows like behavioral psychology, things that happen that are instilled in these formative years that like carry on.
Oh, yeah.
So again, I'm not saying that's I'm not
qualified. It's a thing.
Yeah. So I think that's probably a big piece, as it relates to my approach. But I also want to say that I became an uncle back in October, and I'm giving that same advice to my fiance and to her sister-in-law and my brother-in-law, and saying that, they're concerned, not concerned, they're looking forward to when she rolls over, right? And they're looking forward to this, and looking forward to the first words and these things. I'm saying, don't wish that all away, because it's already going, like, it's already growing up.
Yep.
And so that is going to happen very fast, and we need to enjoy what we have right now.
So another short story. So last night, I get home, and I had a voicemail from a neighbor across the street, and she's 94 years old. She reminds me of my grandmother, who's no longer here. And she's so adorable, and she was like, Allison, I hope you're doing really well. I hope you and the boys had a good year. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to, like, pause my day to day. It's been a crazy couple weeks at work, and I'm just going to do something nice for somebody, because sometimes that just is all you need, right? To, like, feel
totally
refulfilled.
Yes.
So I walk my boys over there last night, ring her doorbell, and it was like the difference in her life stage and her age, and seeing my kids, like my son, jumping around her furniture, and they're so filled with life, and they have literally the world ahead of them, was such a real moment for me to say, like, she saw us as a picture-perfect family. I see flaws. I see things I can do better. I see more of myself I can give to my kids, more of myself I can give to the business. All I see are things that I want to change. And to her, she's just like, cherish that shit, right?
Well, and you're so lucky, like, to have a reminder like that. You know, not everybody has that reminder, and you get so caught up in other things. And, you know, I cherish it is, like, totally just the message there, right? And you had that opportunity to pause and to take a step back, and it just continues to validate your thinking there. And it's stuff you probably already know, and just you lose sight of it sometimes.
Yeah,
not you, but I think it's so easy
anybody.
For all of us.
Yeah, we're in the grind. I mean, think about how many notifications you get all day long.
Yeah.
It's relentless. It's really, really hard to step back. And if we shift gears to the business aspect of this, I used to be very critical of leaders that I looked up to. I was very, very critical. And it was just like, you aren't clear. You don't have a clear vision. You don't have goals. Where are we going as a company? I was just all over the place, like, held them to just such high standards because I didn't understand what it means to truly lead. And I didn't have the experience. I thought, you know, when you're in your early 20s and you're up and coming in your career, you kind of think that you know all. I know I'm generalizing, but I at least
you're generalizing because I do know all. That's why I'm here today, actually. Again, welcome
exactly.
to my podcast.
Exactly. So I was so critical and just whatever, right? And then now fast forward years later, I'm in the very grateful for the position I have as the president of this digital advertising agency, and we're a rapidly growing company. And now I'm in the spot where I'm reflecting every single day about, oh, wait a second. I need to be the one who gives the vision, who articulates the goals, who sets everybody's mind at ease that, hang on a second, like, we're not passengers in this car. We're driving it. We've got a clear path forward. But in the defining of that vision behind the scenes, there is no answer. There's no finish line. There's no, like, once we hit this, then we're done. Check off the box. That's not what this whole thing is. This whole thing is about, you've got to love what you do and celebrate the wins, big and small, and have really good days and enjoy those times when you break through, when you're sitting in a room enjoying a conversation like this one. Like, these are the things, this is what this
could
is
you,
about.
So to kind of challenge, and you already called a couple of these things out, but if you were speaking to 5 years out of college, Allison Minutillo, in her career, right, and you had to give her, like, three or four pieces of advice, right, because I see myself as that person,
mm-hmm.
you know, what are the things you would tell the younger you, who was that person who was constantly challenging or critiquing, use whatever word you want, but striving, trying to take steps and grow and do all those things that we expect of people, generally speaking, right? High performing people. But what would you tell that person today as it relates to the things you have now learned in your last couple, you know, few months of being in this position?
I would say it's important to have a vision. It's important to have, like, this is who I want to be. I wish I focused more on who I wanted to be rather than what I wanted to do. In striving towards who you want to be, I wish I had stopped to listen to the ones who had been there before more. I feel like I was always good at having mentors and listening and stuff, but when it comes to elders and like the people who are more experienced and they've done this for a really long time, even though they might not be current in the current trends or they might not be as savvy digitally as you, it does not mean that they are less wise.
Right. Can you tell me what you wanted to be? What were you focusing on wanting to be?
Yeah. I don't know because I never thought about it.
Or that was even probably a shifting target. It was probably a shifting target.
Yeah. I was so focused on my career and what I wanted to do and grow and like the business ladder, right? And only now, like it's very present now for me. Like that is the thing that I'm focused on is like being a good person all the time. That wasn't in my psyche then. It wasn't that I was a bad person. It just wasn't my target.
Yeah.
My target now is giving my strengths back, like using my strengths in the best way to get the best out of everybody else around me.
Well, it's also so interesting because not to make your head too large, but also not, I don't know the best way to say this, but you reached a position, right? You reached something that could be perceived as a pinnacle, right? You're in a really, like you said, you're in a fortunate position to have, you know, not only the opportunity to look back on a career where you've had you've seen this trajectory kind of realized in this position. So I think you've gotten there too. Not to totally put the screws to you. But
that's what I mean by, that's what I mean by the life-changing event. So I talked about parenthood as a life-changing event. And then this latest promotion to president was the other life-changing one. Because to me, that was my career goal.
Sure, yeah.
Was lead an organization. And so once you get there, then you're like,
oh,
wait a second.
Yeah.
If you're always like a what's next? What's my next? Yeah. What do I need to do to get to the next level? How many times have you heard that or said that? Right? Totally. What do I need to do this, right? Then you get there. And you're like, okay, you have a couple days where you're like, holy shit, I did this, right? And you're patting yourself on the back and you're like, oh my gosh, I accomplished what I set out to do, probably younger than I thought I would, which I was very proud of myself that. But you quickly change to like, okay, so now what am I going to do with this very important platform?
Once the shine wears off, right? It's like, what's important to you
now? All the
now that you hit that
rubs off, like it falls away. It becomes much less important. It becomes a responsibility that you have. And that responsibility in a very high profile role is to make sure that you're doing good. At least this is my perspective.
Yeah.
That you're doing good for everybody else along the way and having them see, no, it's okay to enjoy this podcast moment. It's okay to celebrate that win that you just closed that new business. Like it's good to celebrate that. And absolutely. It's also okay to have a shitty day. Mm-hmm. Right? But like as long as you pick yourself up and you move on and you keep trying to enjoy yourself along the way and not bring other people down with you, then that's really to me what this whole thing is about. And life and business have kind of blurred together for me.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I think so. I'm really interested to see like your whole line of thinking and your approach now, like what you just broke down, I think is going to be really interesting to see how this COVID timeframe not shifts that, but I think it's so important to keep that as like a North Star that like enjoying the moment, celebrating the small wins, being okay with having a crappy day or a crappy moment, right? Because I think in the world of business where we're all together in an office space, those ebbs and flows you just kind of got used to, everything was flipped on its head. And now as you look at people who are thinking about mental health in such a more, you know, real way for a lot of people who maybe hadn't thought about it as much previously, the way we interact with each other and sort of culture development within organizations coming on the back end of this, because we will be back into the office, but things aren't going to be the same.
Yep.
So I think really approaching and almost redefining what your sort of career success looks like and blending that career, I'm not gonna say again finish line because we're kind of backing away from that, but finish line, mountaintop with like life mountaintop, life finish line, who do you want to be, is like the key here. And it is something that we're trying to figure out in real time. And I think, again, your approach is like so important for someone in my position to take into account because it's not just that corporate ladder, which you could, you literally could walk into an organization, look at an org chart and say, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps to get to whatever title it is you wanted.
Yep.
Right. And that was very well defined. Now it's really not. Organizations have flattened. People are in lots of different work situations that don't have the same kind of, you know, deep, steep organizational charts. And because life has so blended with work, like the whole definition of work-life balance is totally different and so skewed that I think it's just going to be really interesting to see how the perception of success or what that finish line is going to look like for a lot of people. Yeah. And I think that you're going to see value shift as a, and priority shift as it relates to achieving, yes, career success or a definition of career success, but it, that will also end up mirroring like life success, right? Or,
absolutely.
Or a finish line in that way.
The other thing I would tell my younger self is the importance of reflection in your day to day. It sounds so ethereal and cheesy, but it is the only way to realize who you truly are. You have to be willing to be vulnerable and listen to hard feedback and really, really look in that mirror at the end of the day and the beginning of the day and say, like, who do I want to be today? Was that person I was yesterday? Did I handle that the right way? Was that who I truly am? Am I influenced by something that's going on and I'm snapping at people? Did I handle that with care and positivity but constructive input? And we're all human, right? Like there are things that I communicate really, really well and there are things that I just mess up, right? And I wish I could repeat certain things. But like part of this is like you can't beat yourself up. You only can choose like I'm going to reflect on that and I'm going to be better tomorrow. So you can't, you just, you can't treat yourself like a punching bag.
Do you have any specific tips and tricks that you've maybe employed to try to achieve that? So do you meditate? Do you work out? Do you have dedicated time
all those
to yourself that allow you to have an intentional point or period of reflection?
Yeah. I don't think there's a big answer. I would say my answer are my confidants. There are very, very few people. One is my husband, right? That I talk to. One is the owner of this company. That I really tell how I'm like interpreting things, how I'm feeling about myself. Because you're not in this thing called life by yourself. And the more you keep it in and you're bottling things up and you're getting frustrated by a situation, but you're not actually saying it out loud how you see yourself, you have no one else there to affirm that that's not actually the case. That's not actually how other people see you. Because once you get into a high-profile leadership position, you got a target on your back. Because it's a stage. It's a big stage, and you're going to say things that rub people wrong, and you're going to say things that people really love. And that requires some real thick skin. And so if you're trying to build that armor on your own, you're going to crack. It's going to break.
Well, and you're going to develop bad communication habits.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're going to crumble from the inside. I only say that, not that I see myself as crumbling from the inside necessarily, but I definitely fall into the category of someone who probably doesn't share as much as they should or communicate as well as they should. Because again, as being in that 20-something year old role, you know, relatively new in their career, you see it as a sign of weakness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not something that, you know, you want to, you know, kind of give into, even though the catharsis of sharing of a shared experience or communicating that with someone is like so important to your own development ultimately. And I guess I'm just projecting on you as someone who's on the other side of that. I'm thinking that's probably what you would say.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, think about yourself, right? If you see a peer who's having a hard day, wouldn't you want them to tell them what's going on? Like if they were feeling down about themselves and they were in a like self-deprecating mode, but you saw them completely opposite, wouldn't you want that ability to build them up? You want them to be able to tell you.
Definitely.
Right? And you want that safe space. Well, that doesn't change based on your title. You're still a human.
Sure.
Right? You just are on a different trajectory. Or you have a different vision, or you know, you're just different, right? But it doesn't mean you're better or worse. You're still a person
you still
who
need
needs
those things.
To talk
yeah.
to somebody,
yeah, exactly.
right? So it's important to find the people that you really trust, who respect you, but are also willing to give you some tough love. Because there, I'll share with you, like there are moments where I was like super upset about things that I did, and I was like super, super hard on myself, and I was listening to all the negative voices, and I was letting them crack my confidence. And Bryn, the owner, was just like, you know what? You need to grow some thick skin. You got to feel the confidence in you. Like, and he gave me like cold, hard, put me in my place, right? But after, like, he's so kind and generous and a wonderful person. But he realized in that moment what I needed was like slap me across the face and like get your shit together and know why you are in this role. And that don't let people take you down. Be your confident self. And
you're here for a reason.
And you're here for a reason. Yeah. And you've got to learn that part of this life is just, it's learning about yourself. I mean, that's
a win, right? That's a win right there. And the moment you come out of that conversation, like, you know what? Okay, I can do this. And yep. You realign your own expectations, whether it's from an outside force or voice, or it was internal, you know, that's a win right there and worth celebrating. And I'm trying to like bring back the conversation, you know, in my own head to, you know, again, my initial business first thought of like, you know, well, do we need to get to 100 employees? Yeah. Is it X millions of dollars worth of revenue or billions? Or, you know, who do we stack ourselves up against, right, out in the marketplace? And how do we get to go there? It's more than that.
When you say
it's
that,
it's smaller than that.
I remember one of the extreme critiques I had of somebody in my past was like, they had announced at a company meeting, like, our end goal is to get to 200 employees. And I always saw that as like, that's an outcome of success. That's not the goal. The goal is not to have staff, right? But I never knew the answer. It just sat wrong with me. And now I know why. Like, it's not about the revenue numbers. It's not about the number of employees. It's not about the number of clients, the badass clients we've got. It's not about any of that. That is an outcome. That is a KPI. That is something we want to strive towards. And those are real. That's part of our business plan. There's realness to all that stuff. But it is not the thing that drives us. The thing that drives us is getting the best out of each other, empowering each other to surprise yourself, to like have a really good day, enjoy the journey, like be in this
together. Come up with an idea, right?
Come up with an idea, see it through. How hard is that, right? There's just so
much. I was about to say, like, I love coming up with ideas, but seeing it through, right? That's like, that takes work. But again, that's where you start to get the win at the end of the day. And that's worth celebrating too, you know, just kind of tying it back to that. Yeah. So I think all of those, like you said, those KPIs are so important. And you know, whether they are communicated out to a general population in a way that, you know, I think it's just realigning expectations, because those are traditional measures of success that I think are not becoming less relevant. They're extremely relevant to the health of a business. But as it relates to what gets you up out of bed every morning, it might not be getting 200 employees.
Well, I'll end with this. Tomorrow I'm going to ask you, when you went home tonight and you thought about your day and you said, was that a good day or was that a bad day? If you say it was a good day, ask yourself why. Why was it inspiring to you? Why was it a good day? And that's how I've been able to truly like find myself in this whole role, because I started realizing the connections through the good days were about the stuff we were just talking about. And they were not attached to revenue or billings or size or any of that stuff. They were attached to the way that you feel. And how good you feel. And
that's so true and so valuable.
That's all it is. Easy, easy peasy.
Done. I think we solved it.
I think we solved life. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Allison. Appreciate the time.